Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, you're listening to Core Dialogues Radio, presented by ID Group, where thought-provoking conversation and thought leaders meet on air. Every Thursday at 4 p.m., we hit the airwaves with forward-thinking ideas, philosophies, and questions, connecting our listeners to ideas that will get you thinking. The answers are in our studio. Now, here's your host and whole systems branding expert, Dr. Mona.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to today's edition of Core Dialogues Radio. As we do every Thursday, we are streaming live from the Business Radio X studio here in beautiful downtown Pensacola, and it is a beautiful day here in the land where everybody wishes they could live. So I'm your host, Mona Amadeo, and like I said, we're every Thursday we meet here at 4 o'clock, and for some of our audience who can join us live, they can do so at coredialogues.businessradiox.com. And then what we do, because we know everybody can't tune in as we would hope they could and listen to us live, all of our programs are archived each week, and you can listen to those archives at your own leisure at coredialoguesradio.com. That's coredialogues with a S, radio.com. So, you know, what we like to do every week here is we just bring some really cool people together to talk with us. These are people that I either know well or have known well or wish I knew better. So these people are really here to share their best ideas with you. I hope they'll inspire you, motivate you, challenge you. And the biggest thing that I want everyone to know about these are people who are making real difference in organizations. You know, I'm a believer that organizations have tremendous power. They can have a tremendous power to do some good things and maybe not so good things. So these are the people who I believe are the leading thought leaders around how to make organizations healthy, wealthy, and wise, if you will. So this week, or over the last several weeks, our focus of our guests has been really on people who are focused primarily around the concepts of engagement. Last week, Jackie Stravros was here, and Jackie is the creator, co-creator, actually, of something called SOAR, which is a different way to look at strategic planning. And what Jackie shared really was, you know, how do you gauge people to get everybody on the same page, as we like to say, moving or herding the cats generally in the same direction. And I think Jackie shared some really interesting ideas about how to do that. This week, I invited a friend of mine and a leadership guru, if you will, because I thought it'd be really interesting to take a little bit of a shift in our focus and talk about leadership. You know, our guest today is someone that is I've known for several years, and he's an expert at doing what is considered kind of helping people discover the leader within. I think he believes that a lot of people can be leaders. Sometimes we think of leaders as a certain kind of person, but I think our guest today is one that believes that there's something inside of us all that can be brought out to be a leader. So welcome, Dave. Just a little bit about Dave. He's a seasoned leadership advisor. He has about over 30 years experience, a lot of experience supporting senior and mid-level leaders. He's highly regarded in the area of leadership because of his approach that connects leadership effectiveness to business performance. So a lot of people go, why do we do this? But Dave really finds that connection between effective leadership and business performance. Over the years, Dave's really become known as someone who knows how to create and help leaders create work environments marked by ownership and creative action, love this, rather than cautiousness and defensiveness. So he's, you know, he teaches people how to grab hold of things, be yourself, be your authentic self, and lead from that perspective. Of course, he's represented a lot of, or worked with a lot of clients that you would represent, Goodyear Tire and Rubber, Leo Burnett. He's also worked with National Wildlife Federation and a lot of Ernst & Young, a lot of big names. So someone that has had real experience in real world, but he's also worked with smaller companies too. So don't want to think he's only dealing with the big boys. One of the things that is really special about Dave is that he has an extensive background in wilderness expeditions, and he sees and uses nature to teach people about themselves and about their potential for leading. And of course, given today's business environment, probably some really great experience to have there. So that's a real specialty of his. He brings with him a PhD in organization behavior from Weatherhead School of Management at Case Western. And he has his master's degree in experiential education from the University of Akron and his bachelor's degree in management from Penn State University. So deep understanding not only of the world of work, but also the theory behind behind that. Dave lives with his wife, Andy, and they have two kids, and as he puts it, who are charting their own course in the world. So welcome, Dave. We're glad to have you with us. So, you know, Dave, leadership is always one of those interesting words. I always say it's sort of like the word red. When you say red, everybody has something else, different that comes to their mind. Now, you may think red is one thing, and I think it's another. And I think leadership is one of those kind of words. So that might just be a good place for us to start today and kind of giving us your perspective, your angle on what leadership is and how you define it, rather. And maybe a little bit about where it lives in the organization. You know, some people think it lives at the top. Some people think it lives all over. Some people think it lives at the bottom. So tell us a little bit about
it. Yeah.
That's probably where I live. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are on leadership, Dave. And we'll just start there and go where it takes us.
Right on. Yeah. I'm an all over guy. I think leadership comes from inside each person, as you mentioned in that beautiful introduction. It's like, you know, McGregor Burns said leadership is probably the most studied phenomenon and least understood phenomenon on earth. You know, everybody kind of knows it when they see it. But defining it takes so many different directions. Whenever I'm with clients, and I was with a whole group of leaders from one of the major airlines just yesterday, having an all day conversation about the challenges of leadership and what it is that they need in their organization. And in every one of these groups, I will typically ask them, what is it that all great leaders do? And they come up with the most extraordinary and amazing and accurate lists. You know, everything from inspiring others to listening deeply to being vulnerable and authentic to designing systems and structures to get results to building great teams, to knowing themselves. You know, everybody seems to know what it is. Mm-hmm. So we'll create a big list. We'll fill a flip chart or two or three. And after they've gotten all of their thoughts about what great leadership is, I usually compliment them and say, hey, you guys know it. You know what great leadership is. So here's a follow-up question for you. If we know what it is, why is it that we don't see more of it? Mm-hmm. You know, like what is it?
Yeah.
Like we all get cognitively what it is, but what is it that prevents us from showing up as this list says we should and could and ought to? And you know, that pretty soon we're into a conversation about fear and ego and the structure of work these days and the challenges of change and all of that. And then we get into the real conversation. So, you know, my sense is it's not about knowing what leadership is. We got that. Mm-hmm. It's about doing the deeper inner work to release our potential, to remove the roadblocks, if you will, to letting it out.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of takes us to this next question. You know, the idea that so many people, you know, the old, you know, the question, are leaders born or are they made? You know, and there's so many people, you hear the terms natural leader. And I've seen people in my career that, you know, when you meet them when they're a little younger, they don't necessarily display some of the things you're talking about. But then later in life, they seem to evolve by plan or destiny, one of the two, or maybe both, into really strong leaders. So from what your experience has been and what you, as you've worked with leaders, is there an evolution of a leader? Is it just born? Some of us have it, some of us don't. What do you see based on your research and experience around are leaders made or are they born?
You know, that question strikes me. It's is about like asking, is it colder in the mountains or the winter?
And in both?
Yes.
Yeah.
They go together. The questions, they actually need one another.
Yeah.
See, the essence of leading really is creating what matters most. I mean, leadership in and of itself is a creative act. So let me just back up just a little bit. If you were to think of the difference between leadership and management, you could say that management is taking what currently exists and making it more efficient and more effective. And it's absolutely needed. It's a science. It's an art. It takes a lot of grit, perseverance, skill, etc. Leaders, on the other hand, see something that isn't but needs to be. They begin to imagine the future. They imagine what could be, and then they start trying to articulate what that is, and it draws others in. People get engaged by the possibilities of what could we create together? Mm-hmm. And then they help to channel that energy and focus that, pull resources in, and begin to get the ball rolling. And so it is a creative act. And so in that sense, I think leadership in a way is synonymous with being fully human, because it's my belief and the belief of my colleagues that it fundamentally or constituent to being human is that we are creators. Mm. And so when we imagine possibilities and we begin to deploy ourselves in service of those possibilities, then we're leading. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, to get to your question, where is it found in the organization? You don't have to be at the top. You don't have to be in a leadership position with direct reports. You only have to start. You only have to imagine and then find the courage to start pulling people in and drawing people toward the vision and so forth. So I think it really is synonymous with becoming a full out human being. It's just leadership feels more natural as we grow more mature. Now, you know, are there barriers and enablers in our environment to us realizing our potential? Absolutely. You know, some people have catalysts in their life experience that really trigger that desire to lead and to create a better world. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they've had the silver spoon or they've had all the resources. In fact, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably the opposite.
Probably not, yeah.
I think often great suffering.
Well, I should be a really great leader then.
I mean, if you think of all the people we idolize,
yeah,
you know, those great leaders, you look at Gandhi or Mandela or Teresa of...
Now, I wouldn't put myself in that category, just so you know.
Well, I was about to say
that Jesus. Suffering.
You're right there, St. Mona. So, you know, it's, when we suffer or when we're somehow blessed with great love or both at the same time, it tends to wake up inside of us a deeper self, a true self that then wants to commit itself to something bigger than itself. And I'm saying self in the ego sense. So, mm-hmm. you know, one of our internal barriers to really being effective at leadership is our own ego. And, you know, yes, of course, there are external barriers. Sometimes there's not the resources. Sometimes we don't have the contacts we need to find the influence, et cetera. So there's all that stuff, of course. But without that deeper core inside the person, it's going to be very difficult for them to lead, no matter how fortuitous their circumstances are.
Yeah.
So you can tell, I really think it's more of a psychological and a spiritual question than it is one of genetics and circumstance.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting about your work, Dave, because you're really talking about developing, finding, tapping into, I'm not real sure exactly the correct word to use there, but there's something alive inside of us that somehow some of us are able to bring forth more than others. And it feels like your work is about that tapping into that, releasing that awareness. Is that a fair way to talk about it? Or is there a better way that I could say that?
No, actually, I think that's a beautiful way to say it. I think the idea of conscious awareness mm-hmm. is core for leaders to become more effective. And aware of what? Well, one, to be aware of my thought patterns, you know, think about what you think about. Think about that, right? It's a real, a lot of times we have all these conversations going in our head that have become background noise from the various parts of ourselves, if you will, that if we could dial into what we're actually, the meaning that we're making of the world as we perceive it, as we take it in through our eyes and our ears and our body, we're interpreting what we're seeing around us. And we do that in certain patterns. And so the development psychologists, the adult people who study adult development, have laid out some very specific stages that we will move through if we continue on the path toward maturity. And it's almost as if we have an operating system in our brains, just like you might in your computer, right? Mm-hmm. Upon which all your competencies or your applications in the computer sense run. And that operating system, if it's If it's rudimentary and basic, like DOS, it has a difficult time dealing with the challenges of leadership. But as you upgrade it to Windows, 95, Windows 10, or Mac OS at increasing levels of sophistication, we're able to perceive the world and the needs of those around us with more nuance. And we're able to stand with more certainty in the midst of a crazy complex
world, yeah,
environment, right? And so I think that, it is about awareness. It's about not just the desire to be a leader, but learning how to see with progressively wider and wider eyes to take in more and more.
And being aware of how we're processing what we're seeing, right? I mean,
that's the conscious piece, because, we do most of what we do on automatic. Mm. We've got these little software subroutines in our minds that, thank goodness, that we do most of it on automatic. Because if you imagine you had to think through absolutely everything you did every single day, you'd be exhausted all the time. So having things that we just do, like driving to work and not noticing the drive, well, that's okay, actually, because it means we're able to do some things without dedicating full attention to them, so that we can dedicate full attention to what matters most.
Yeah. So, as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking of clients and I'm thinking of CEOs I work with, and I would think, wow, I'm not, how do you get CEOs to listen to, because you're really talking about doing some pretty deep work on yourself, on individual, me as leader, individual. What are some of the challenges that you face in working with, and let's just use leaders right now in the term of people who lead, who are in charge of companies. Let's just define it for our purpose of this small conversation around that. When you're talking with those people responsible every day of making the payroll, getting things going, how do you talk to them about why this is important? When we're thinking in terms of, tell me why and how this is going to impact my bottom line. How is this? We hear it all the time. So help me understand, as you're working with those people, what is it that triggers people wanting to do this kind of work and understanding the importance of it?
The conversation we're having in my company almost all the time now is about this acronym that we call VUCA. We didn't name it. It's been out there in the literature for probably the last 10 years or so.
That means no one's heard of it if it's in the literature, right?
VUCA is the acronym. Yeah. And it stands for the four factors that are making business and life really challenging in this postmodern world. It's volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. It used to be, when we talked about the challenges of business in the real world, we talked about the pace of change as the primary challenge, and ever since Alvin Toffler wrote The Third Wave 30, 40 years ago, he forecasted that change was going to be coming in waves that would be increasing in height and pace, and that we were just going to get bowled over by them. What he didn't anticipate is the different kinds of change, if you will, and the uncertainty, the volatility, the uncertainty, the increasing complexity of working and living in a global world. Mm-hmm. And so the systems that we've created for the global economy and for society are so complex and so nonlinear that nobody can wrap their minds around them. I mean, you take everybody from the Federal Reserve, right, to the United Nations, trying to figure out, if we want to have an impact, where is the best place to put our energy and our focus and our intention? Because, that old saw that the butterfly will flap its wings in Tokyo and two weeks later it'll create a rainstorm in New York is true in these complex systems. So, I think what most executives understand at an intuitive level is that they're feeling not only overwhelmed by VUCA, but they're feeling in over their heads, meaning that they don't really, none of us really understand with any certainty how to be successful in this modern world. And so when we start the conversation there, it's a really pretty easy segue to say that in order for you and your leaders to be more effective, you need to upgrade the way you think about the role of leadership, the role of your business in the world, and how you stand in the midst of this complexity without oversimplifying things, without making shades of gray into either black or white, without hesitating when you have to make decisions, even though you wish you had perfect information, you know you never will. Those kinds of challenges are what waking everybody up at night.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the increasing your effectiveness of leaders, we talk about it as an outside in game or an inside out game. The outside in game is learning more leadership skills and competencies. And that's the old traditional way of thinking about doing leadership development.
Mm-hmm.
And it's necessary, but it's also not sufficient. The inside out game is what we started the conversation about. And that's looking at the way in which I take in all this information from the world, the way I take in all these challenges, the way I understand the systems we're operating in, the way I make meaning and coherence out of all of it. If I can understand that about how I process things, then I'm at choice about them.
Yeah.
Then I can decide, wow, you know, I've been holding that one assumption about how things work with my customers or with the government and regulators and whatever, and maybe it's not true. Maybe it used to be, but it's not now. Maybe if I test that assumption, challenge it, a whole world of possibilities opens up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
but it takes courage to hold loosely to those things that we thought we always knew. But that's the work. That's the work, is humbly coming at this role of leadership from a place of learn how instead of a place of know how. You know what I mean by the difference there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think as I'm listening to you, I'm kind of going through, as I said in my intro, I work a fair amount in healthcare. And as you know, that's probably VUCA like times 20, right? Because,
yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the challenges that I'm seeing. I don't know if you have this. That's, you know, people who come out of into healthcare are traditionally very structure oriented. They're process, they are protocol oriented. So one of the things I'm seeing is that shift that you're talking about is really hard for people who are in these worlds of high structure, protocol worlds, you know, to be able to let go of some of that, to go, I've got to kind of dance on the edge of chaos, for lack of a better way to explain it, and be able to, and if I think what you're saying is, if you're in touch with your, I guess there's a confidence level of being in touch with this kind of inner self, that allows you to deal more effectively when things aren't exactly boxed. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to describe it. I think, you know, in healthcare, as in so many other industries, there's multiple challenges. And two of the ones I see in healthcare, one is the administrative side of the healthcare business, if mm-hmm. you will, mm-hmm. is going through major transformation that it's like a whitewater river where there's no space between the rapids.
Absolutely.
So then there's the delivery side,
mm-hmm.
In which you've got, I suppose it's fair to say, a caste system amongst the various levels of practitioner care, from MAs to nurses to physician assistants to docs. And all of that has so much, it creates a real fertile ground for ego barriers to get in the way of authentic communication and truth telling and mutual support and real peer interaction in a way that increases the outcomes for healthcare. And so there's multiple levels of challenges in that industry that are, you know, requires a full court press, and it's got to be constant to transform it.
Yeah.
And I know people get into healthcare, they also get into it because they want to be healers.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
They want to make the world a better place. It starts there with them, and then all of the mechanisms of getting degreed and getting credentialed and then working in a system that is very structured and changing very fast at the same time is almost more than anybody can take.
And I agree. I mean, that's what I say to people all the time. I said, it's just a really challenging place right now, because and even those of us who are going in trying to assist, help, you know, whatever, it's like I said, where do you start? Because it is so complex, and there are so many interrelated pieces of this. So, you know, if you were talking to, and I know you do, the companies and looking at ways to build the next generation, you know, one of our responsibilities, I believe, and those of us who are lucky enough to have organizations and people who, you know, you work with, you know, you want to help build them. You want to help do and make them and give them opportunities to be better people, better leaders. What are some of the things that you've observed as successful ways to take? Because I think I'm hearing you say, Dave, that some of this is developmental, right? It's process. It's a maturity process. It's a way of becoming that probably never ends. But as you're looking at organizations and even people like me, if I'm trying to say, I really want to unleash some of this in my team, what are some of the things that we can do to build this kind of next generation of a leader that kind of embraces the perspectives that you're talking about?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I got a bunch. Okay, so probably like 8 different things I'd like to mention, because I really think that it's a comprehensive journey or solution that we've got to consider. And I'll tell you, lots of my clients, probably almost every one of them, tells me the same story, that about 65% of their leadership cadre is going to be walking out the door between 5 and 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're boomers, yes. they're going to waltz out the door with all that institutional knowledge with them. And they're starting to feel a rising level of panic to figure out, how do we get the Gen Xers and the millennials, into a place where they understand that they're in the succession plan, that they're being developed actively, and to do it in a way that's going to be effective. Because I think we're all a little bit scared about this transition coming, and we should be.
Yeah, it's big.
So I would say the first thing is, it's leadership development has got to be prioritized at the same extent that we prioritize other operational and business priorities. It can't work if it's a nice to have or it's considered a luxury good. And then as soon as, you know, we feel like we've got to go into cost cutting, that's the first thing to go.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the wrong way to prioritize this. And our research tells us that when we did correlational studies between leadership effectiveness, as we measure it with the leadership circle, and business performance, as Wall Street measures business performance, we found a 38% effect size in the performance differences between the high performing companies in our sample and the lowest performing companies in our sample that was attributable to leadership effectiveness.
Mm. 38%. Wow.
In a day and age, we're trying to squeeze water out of a stone when it comes to lean and Six Sigma and process redesign and cost cutting and efficiencies. You know, we're looking at 0.25% at this and 0.5% at that. We've got a real reserve of possibility if we can work both individual and collective leadership development, meaning leadership teams, simultaneously over time. So that's the first thing, is prioritize it. The second thing we've already talked about, which is work the inside out game more than the outside in game. The third would be to start with the top team. The top team who reports to the board, and the board if possible,
mm-hmm.
so that they're all working together, not just sort of remotely sponsoring leadership development, but they're doing their own work. Because when they do their own work in an authentic, vulnerable way, it sets the tone for the rest of the organization to get into doing their work. If you're working in a high stress organization, people tend to be pretty cautious about doing the kind of learning and development that it requires to become a better leader. But when the top leaders do it, it opens the door a bit.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, work on individual and collective leaderships simultaneously, focusing on the leadership culture. Now, it's different from culture. This is the leadership culture, which is the tone that the leaders set as a collective, the top three levels of leaders in the organization, for how every other leader in the organization should show up. It ought to also be treated as an ongoing learning process, that like mastering any craft, not as a training event. So even if you have a series of training events, but they're not linked together in an ongoing process, multi-year process, it's just going to feel episodic and not keep the momentum going. And then Two other things. One, I think you have to use a real smart blend of adult learning modalities. So you got to blend feedback, like good 360 feedback, like the leadership circle, mm-hmm. peer coaching cohorts, so that they're working to coach one another along the way with real business challenges, action learning, training's a little bit part of it, you know, that 10-70-10-20 rule. And then you have to measure the process, measure the progress people are making so that you know you're actually dialing in what's effective and what's working. So all that stuff is not just something you say, well, why don't we, let's bring in a speaker.
Yeah. You know? Let's buy books. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's buy books. Let's have Lucite paperweights and t-shirts and balloons.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in what I, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm right there with you. I think our challenge today, so you go back to this whole world of, you know, the volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, you know, all the things that are swirling around people. And then you look at this approach that's, you know, that's a commitment, that is a way of being. And it's challenging to, you know, to incorporate that into the organization. But like you said, when you look at the real bottom line results, if you say 38%, impact, I mean, that's big, you know, so I guess it is, it feels like it's going to take a shift, Dave, of how leadership's defined. I mean, that's pretty much what you're talking about.
I think so. Yeah. And, you know, I think the biggest shift actually is one I just sort of hinted at a little bit, but that's the difference between thinking about it as individual leadership and thinking about it as collective leadership. That's where my firm is really pressing into right now.
Tell me a little bit about, just expand on that a little bit and sort of tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Well, collective leadership is sort of like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts when it comes to leadership teams that function as teams. Mm-hmm. When you begin to look at the power of a team of leaders at the top of an organization, where the whole organization rolls up to them, all the resources roll up to them, that when they begin to see that top team as their primary team, their number one team, not the team that they lead in their division, but this top team, and they own the enterprise success to the same degree that the CEO or the board does, mm-hmm. then they're much more willing to share resources, to take a performance hit in my part of the organization in order to support the thing you need to do. Yep. And that collaborative sharing, as well as that, I want to say perspectival seeing, the way in which you can see together, if you learn how to dialogue rather than just fight for resources and try to get decisions made quickly. But if you learn how to really learn from one another and see through each other's eyes, you begin to see the whole in a way that you can't when you've just got, say, a CEO with 10 direct reports all just sharing updates and meetings.
Yeah.
And so there is a quality of collective leadership that geometrically increases the power of leadership effectiveness in the organization. Now, yeah, they all have to be doing their own individual work too.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, but that collective is really important.
But I think the way you're explaining this though is when people are committed to the whole, you know, the bigger picture, not just me. Of course, there's got to be some reward pieces of this that fit into what you're talking about and the way you're recognized for the work that you're doing, because, you know, frankly, right now, a lot of organizations, you're not rewarded for that type of thing. And it's a dog eat dog, you know, who I get this, you don't get that, you know, small pie versus the big pie. Those are all the things. So there seems to be, there would have to be some shift in the norms, if you will, of the organization and how they really value and what they value.
Yes. Oh, that's very true. That idea of connecting all the dots together and seeing things holistically is about the only thing that can help us get through this crazy complexity, the VUCA world that we live in.
Yeah.
We got to do it at all levels. It's what, you know, the term fractal. Yeah. It just continues to repeat itself over and over again at levels of scale that we need to be knitting things together instead of differentiating and breaking things apart.
Yeah.
And frankly, this is why in our research, we've seen, and you're going to love this, we've seen 15 to 20 percentile points higher creative leadership scores on the part of women than men.
And why do you think that is, Dave?
Because you're in the world, Mona. I think it has to do with a woman's way of knowing.
Yes.
You know, if you look at Carol Gilligan's research out of Harvard, and she talks about how women tend to be integrators. Women tend to see the whole and then see the parts of the whole, where men do the opposite. Men tend to analytically separate things out and then perhaps someday, and often not, put them back together.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this idea of bringing diverse stakeholders into the room and learning from one another and creating something together that would be much bigger than the possibilities of all of us doing our own thing is something that I think is more native to the female mind. And so leaders, male leaders with a well-developed feminine side, tend to be more effective than, you know, not.
And we're seeing that play out.
We need women at the top in the worst way right now.
And I am seeing that. And I'm seeing women, you know, like you said, navigate complex systems like higher education, for instance, in the changes and the transformations. And, you know, it's almost as bad as healthcare as far as all the challenges that they're facing. And we are seeing women who are stepping into those roles, and they're able to build what you're talking about, this kind of collective sense of we versus the me. And I think that's I'm seeing it as I'm out there working.
I am too.
So there's hope.
There is. And actually I think we're learning a lot in the stages of adult development, and that whole body of research on which we base our leadership development work is getting more traction popularly. And so I think more of my clients have begun to hear about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talk about the five stages of leadership effectiveness that mirror five different stages of organizational consciousness. Mm-hmm. Individual consciousness. Moving from egocentric to reactive to creative to integral to unitive. And, you know, if we had more time, we could get into each one of those and how each one of them impacts your ability to lead in the midst of the VUCA world. But it's clear there's a developmental challenge we're up against, and it's not going to be one we solve by just sort of studying how to delegate more effectively.
And I think that's really important is, and I think what I want to make sure our listeners are hearing you say is that and maybe people can get through these stages maybe a little faster, some other people than others, based on a whole lot of things. But there's process that you do need to go through, right? There's a developmental, much like from, you know, crawling to walking to running. It is developmental muscle building, if you will.
It really is. If I could put a plug in for a book.
Yes.
Two of my business partners, Bob Anderson and Bill Adams, just produced a book in November that is done really, really well on Amazon, because I think it hit a nerve right in this very area. It's called Mastering Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, they talk about these five stages of leadership and how each one of them opens up a broader vista on what the possibilities can be for organizational life, for organizational effectiveness, for the people in the organizations, for how to handle volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. Each one of these stages is qualitatively different from the last one. And yet, when we transcend the last stage, we still include it in our consciousness. So we have access to all these earlier stages of seeing and acting when they're needed.
Yes. At appropriate times, correct? So be able to pull on those when appropriate. Well, I hate this, Dave, but we are out of time, and I could sit here, you know, and I could talk to you at least 2 more hours. But before we get off, what I'd like to do is, if people want to connect with you, want to learn more about you, how can they do that? Website, email, whatever information you'd like to share, I'd like to put it out there to the world for you.
Sure. Yep. There's two websites for my organization, which the overall name, the legal name of the organization is Conscious Leadership. And that's not going to surprise you.
No.
But there's two customer facing websites. One is the Leadership Circle.
Okay.
And the Leadership Circle is our leadership assessment and development business. And we have the Leadership Circle profile, which is probably I feel like I'm, you know, blowing our own horn, but I really believe this is true, is one of the best, if not the premier, leadership 360 assessment in the world today. So the leadership circle is one, and then the consulting firm is called Full Circle Group. And that's where we use all of our own tools, but we also experiment with methodologies and research to continue to push the boundaries of knowledge around what it takes to be effective leaders individually and collectively. So Full Circle Group and the Leadership Circle are...
And those both, are those just .com, leadershipcircle.com and Full Circle Group?
You know, you can type in just the name, but okay. It's FCG, Full Circle Group, -global.com.
Okay.
And the leadershipcircle.com.
Okay, so either way they can find you. We'll make sure, just so you'll know, we'll be posting the archive of this interview for everybody to listen to, re-listen to. There's just a lot of depth here in what you're saying. So if I would recommend people listen to it a couple of times to completely, you know, understand exactly what you're doing here. And then we'll also post these links so that people can find you easily. But as always, Dave, let's not let so much time go by before we talk again. So we'll...
8 years is a wee bit too long,
I think. It's a little bit too long, Dave, but we really do appreciate your time and the great work you're doing. You know, the respect I have for you and the way that you're really trying to wake up the world to a different kind of approach to leadership. So thank you for that. Thank you for your work and your time. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
So again, that's all the time we have today. I want to again thank Dave Schrader for being our guest today. And again, we will be posting his link to at coredialoguesradio.com and along with other people that you've heard in the past. And again, we'll put the information there on how to get in touch with Dave should you want to do that. And again, I'll say that the Leadership Circle and the other organization, Full Circle Group, are the two places that you can read more about the great work that Dave and his team are doing. So, again, next week we'll be welcoming Ted Kircher to our conversation. And Ted will be talking a lot about more of the operational pieces of building teams in organizations. So we'll look forward to that. So, again, thank you for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you next week right here on coredialogues.businessradiox.com. Thank you and have a great day.